Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple with this special reprise interview of my guest appearance on The Dr. Kevin Show from the Ohm Times Network on January 24th, 2019. I was honored to be asked by Dr. Kevin to appear on his thought-provoking show, where he will take you outside the box, behind the curtain, and will discuss what a load of crap we deal with every day. To share with you his background and insight, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery is a sought-after leader, innovator, author, teacher, synergetic catalyst, speaker, and an expert in the ADD-ADHD field. He has worked for such companies as American Express, Dartmouth College, Hilton, and Sheraton. In the 80s, he was a driving force for the creation and implementation of training programs in the banking, retail, food, and financial service industries. Dr. Kevin's work in both the professional and personal development fields, as well as the corporate, small business, and entrepreneurial fields, he's given a wide platform to work from. His work as a synergetic catalyst has helped the business owner maximize their potential as well as their team's and their business's potential. Synergizing your team is his way of allowing your business to be greater than the sum of its parts. He studied both Eastern and Western philosophies and healing systems and synthesizes these studies and modalities into his work. His trademark blend of coaching, counseling, and skill development gives clients the tools to empower their lives. This fusion has been credited with putting his clients on a fast track toward their goals, generating results in half the time of traditional approaches. Let's listen in on my appearance with Dr. Kevin Ross Emery on The Dr. Kevin Show.
A passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of The Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to challenge everyone and everything, and we bring on to you interesting guests that you can call in and ask questions for of yourself. Tonight's guest is certainly somebody that if you've had any concerns about being scammed or identity theft or fraud, then we expect to hear that phone ringing. That number would be 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. You could also go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. When you stop by the page, make sure you like me. I'm a likable guy. My guest will tell you that tonight, or I'll cut her off. No. But make sure that you can you like the page. You can read all about tonight's guest. You can see how to contact her. And you can also post your own questions there if you're not one of the kind of call-in people. Or maybe you're listening to the Dr. Kevin Show in your headphones and you're working and typing a question would get you in less trouble with the boss than actually calling it in. We understand that those things happen. So we're going to start tonight's show like we start every show, which is to talk about the hot topic. Is it something that's going to be warm and fuzzy in the cockles of Dr. Kevin's heart? Or is it going to be hot under the collar? Tonight, I have to say, you're going to get a hot under the collar. It just is. That's what you're going to get. And the reason why you're getting a hot under the collar tonight is I just came across this afternoon how one of President Trump's cabinet members doesn't understand why these people that haven't got paychecks forever are having to go to food banks and go to stuff like this. this billionaire doesn't understand why, with the guarantee that they'll get back pay, why they just can't take out these low interest loans, which first of all are not low interest loans a lot of the time, because, you know, he doesn't know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. He doesn't know that if you're barely making it anyways, the last thing you need to do is suddenly you have to pay interest on money that you're not getting, especially if you're one of those people that is doing the job and you're not getting it. So you can't be getting money anywhere else. That interest, yeah, that's a big deal. Maybe it's not a big deal to the billionaire cabinet members that think, oh, well, you should be all set. Buy a little less caviar this week. What's your problem? But that's not how the average American lives. And the cluelessness that's coming out of the White House around this right now is truly appalling. To say to federal workers, especially the ones that are working and showing up and doing their job and not getting paid, that they just don't understand why it's such a big deal. Go get a loan. Pay a little interest. Why not? It's only at last count that I think 71% of the people said the wall was not worth a shutdown. This wall is not worth the damage it's doing to our Americans who are struggling and serving this country and serving us at airports and serving us in all sorts of different ways, and not getting paid for it or being on these leaves, not being allowed to work. But what are they going to do? Go quit and find another job? They may have to if it keeps going on. No, we're getting these so out of touch responses that it drives me crazy. So that being said, I'm going to introduce tonight's guest. We're going to throw her from the frying pan into the fire, ask her her opinions on tonight's hot topic, and then we will let you wow her with her incredible depth of knowledge in any number of things, from dealing with finances, which this is a perfect hot topic for this person, considering that's what we just talked about, to identity risk, to, I don't know, maybe she does quilting or crocheting. We'll just see how she wants to amaze us. Tonight's guest is Heather Wagenhals. She is a personal finance expert. She uses her expertise to elaborate on how to put together the pieces back together when your financial stability is lost. If you've ever worried about experiencing a financial setback so bad that it could leave you homeless, financial failures are not fatal. You can come back from wherever you are, wherever you're coming from. So we're going to bring Heather in, and she is the best-selling author of Yes, You Can and Bushido Business. And I'm sure I just murdered that word, and please feel free to tell me how badly I pronounced it. Heather, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, and you know, you got it correct. You got the
Bushido
and Bushido correct. So you're two for two tonight.
Oh my. Well, it is my lucky night. Well, I have you on as a guest, so of course it's my lucky night, right?
Why, thank you.
So, Heather, weigh in on our hot topic. What advice might you have to some of these people that are being told, oh, just go get a loan, when they can't barely make ends meet?
Yeah, so this, your hot topic is kind of scorching, actually. So let's kind of peel back the layers and look at this for what this is. So on the outset, I'm going to say that I am for celebrating the individual. So I believe in individual rights for all people. It doesn't matter what you look like or how you identify. I don't care. As long as you are doing whatever you're doing that is not directly being physically offensive to me, as in violent, as in taking, you know, threat or force action against me, I don't care what you do or who you do it with. It's your thing. So let's talk about this shutdown, because it's a curious thing. So per our nation, we have a right to protect ourselves. It's part of what we do to protect ourselves and the people inside it. So we technically have the right to enforce our borders, okay? But the question is the wall the right answer? don't agree that the wall is the right answer, okay? Because I think that it's an ineffective use of our resources. And as such, I think that holding up the federal budget for something, in my estimation, that is inane and the wrong way to protect our country and ensure its individual citizens the right to a peaceful existence, I think that they're going about this the wrong way. This is not the right place, in my mind, to have this discussion. And that's the bigger problem that I have because of all of the silly remarks that are coming out about go get a loan, because loans are easy to get, because when you're financially strapped, a bank is going to give you money? Really? Because that's not how it works, right?
Nope. Not in my experience.
Yeah. Banks lend you money when you don't need it. I know this because I've been a lender. So, you know, when you can prove to me that you can pay me back, I'll give you some money. But how can they possibly do that if they've gone now weeks without a paycheck? Proof of income is a little, I don't know, hard to do right now. So I think that is a ridiculous challenge for individuals that are continuing to show up to work. Whether or not you believe in big government, whether or not you believe in the wall, that's not what the issue is. Is these people have been employed, whether you or not you agree with that, and these people are still showing up to work. And so they should be remunerated for the value that they've provided, bottom line. So the bigger question is, what do we do in the meantime while all of these other people that we've elected to sort this out are trying to sort this out? And that's the bigger question that we can answer tonight as we talk about personal finance and surviving financial disaster, because this is going to start causing that when the average person is 2 to 3 paychecks away from homelessness.
Well, and, you know, one of the other things is, and, you know, I've had two of the different banks I do business with that have sent me a message through my app or my email or whatever saying, if you're somebody being affected by the federal government shutdown, we have special programs, please contact us. I'm not, so I haven't contacted them, but I'm still kind of sort of betting that they're not going to give it to you for zero interest.
Yeah.
And so you're adding to people's debts who are struggling, and you may be able to get a paycheck loan, or people are there. But let me tell you, people are also going to take advantage of this, because unfortunately, that's just the nature of some people. Some people are going to be doing some loan sharking things so people don't lose their house or can have food or their car payment. And then there's the question of, if they end up a month or more behind on their credit cards, what's that going to do to their credit report? Are their fees going to get waived? Are they going to get a $50 charge? If they have an automatic payment that came out of their bank that bounced, what's that? $40, $50 for that? These things add up, and they're devastating to the average American. And
they're
fighting high ideals on the backs of people that are, a lot of people that are just getting by, that maybe have a tiny little bit in savings and are trying to move forward, but are not prepared to do this. And so, you know, anyways, so thank you for sharing. So tell me, I have to ask you, and then we're going to move to the first question of the day for Heather. But what is Bushido? What's Bushido business?
Bushido,
you got to tell me.
So Bushido is the way of the Japanese warrior, okay? And so the Bushido is the samurai, and this is their code. And so there are these elements that belong to the code. And so when I participated in this book with Brian Tracy and Tom Hopkins, and I think Stephen Covey was also in this book. So what I did is I created a personal finance self-defense plan for people who are self-employed or commissioned, and I used the Bushido code to help detail how we can deploy this Japanese code of honor and respect and justice and loyalty, and how we can apply that to our financial livelihood. So that's all the money coming in and all the money going out. And as what, you know, as we think about how we manage our money, whether we're an intrapreneur or an entrepreneur or just somebody who goes and works at a regular job, regardless, we still have personal finances that we have to attend to. And waiting until we're a professional or waiting until we get out of school is too late. We have to set the behaviors and the patterns in place when we are making very little to no money. So once we start making the bigger money, we're able to hang on to more of it. And that's what we talk about in the Bushido Business book, is how does a business professional or a soon-to-be business professional provide for themselves and maximize opportunities.
So, and where would they get this book?
You can find it on Amazon and anywhere books are sold. I think it's still carried in Barnes & Noble, although it is part of the back catalog, because that book's been around for quite a while now. I think almost 9 or 10 years, I think we're getting on. So
interesting, because I was trying to remember the last time I saw Stephen or Brian, because at different points I've been at events with them or on the same day as speaking or teaching or whatever. But I was thinking, I'm like, just didn't ring any bells, but it's been at least 2 decades since I've seen Brian and probably close to a decade since I've seen Stephen. So that's why it didn't ring any bells with me, I'm sure. Okay.
And everybody's gone online too. You know, Brian Tracy, you know, he has bounced back from cancer and he has these really great online training programs he does now.
Mm-hmm. So now the first question is, and I do want to tell you this because I know I give you the questions ahead of time. You've got stuff all in your head and you're ready to go. But I do like to tell you this, which is when I say these next three questions, and I'll say one at a time and let you answer them, and this is the whole rest of the show, it can be about anything. You can make it about your books. You can make it about the work you do. But I don't care if you make it about crocheting if you think that it would be of a benefit to my audience. So I don't want you to think that you're going to get pegged into any box here, because the first place we're going to do is see where you want to take my listeners outside the box.
Well, are you ready for me to answer that now?
Go.
And
yep.
You're later? Up. Okay, so I am super excited. And I do crochet. That's really kind of funny that you picked that out. But I do a lot of different things. I'm a Renaissance woman, as they say. But I'd like to talk about goals. And because it's the beginning of the year, and by this time, 60-something percent of folks have already flaked on their New Year's resolutions. And so I want to talk about why our goals are not achievable. That's where I want to go when we go out of the box. I have other directions I want to go in the other segment, so I'll let you lay the other questions on me. But that's where I want to go outside of the box. Why?
No, we're in outside the box. That was your introduction to get started.
Oh, okay, great. Well, the other question that I wanted to answer is when we talk about misrepresented truths, and this kind of, you know, dovetails on our discussion with our goals, is that it's not the fear of failure that keeps people disempowered. So that's my little teaser. And then when we talk about the load of crap going on in the world today, I want to talk about a really great article that I just read yesterday, and I want to talk about tribalism and hate and how nobody gets out alive. But there is an answer. There's a simple solution to all of that. And I want to talk about that because I know that you're a Reiki fan. And it's about one of the principles of Reiki. How's that?
I actually have a book out on Reiki.
There you go. See? So I think you might like where we're going to head up.
Well, and we got our music for our first break. We are here with the multi-talented and interesting Heather Wagenhals, a personal financial expert and new age groupie, it sounds like. And we'll be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. We want to invite you tonight to call in if you have any questions of Heather, our personal financial expert. I have claimed her for the next 45 minutes. She's mine, but I'll share her with you. And you can do that by calling in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Like my page. You can write down your questions, and we will share them with Heather and get answers. And if for some reason you are listening to this as one of our many replays that we do, we'll have six more times this week that the show will air, and we're not being live, then you can still go to the Facebook, you can ask the question, and I will reach out to Heather and get an answer for you, unless the question's for me, then I won't reach out to Heather. Heather, are you still there?
I'm hanging in here. You claimed me. I'm yours.
Ah. Oh, then here we go. So go ahead. Where do you want to take my listeners outside the box?
So I want to talk about goals and why we are not achieving them, because people do not really realize that they're setting themselves up to fail, even though they think they're planning for success. So I'd like to talk about a couple of different reasons why that might be. So one of the things that I see most often in my coaching practice or in some of my workshops, that when people plan and set goals, they're not defining them clearly enough. And I'll give you the simplest, easiest one that everybody tends to use, and it's completely ineffective. And people just say, well, I want to be rich, okay? But they haven't defined what rich is to them, because it's a totally subjective term. Your version of rich is different than my version, different than the person down the street or the person sitting in the Oval Office. It doesn't matter. Everybody has a different definition of wealth. And saying rich really doesn't give us anything to hit, because it's an abstract target. And so that's what's the problem with many of our goals, is we've made them abstract. Well, I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape. Well, round is a shape, right?
I hear
so
that.
I want to do these things. You know, I want to finish school. But, you know, but the goal, you know, if the goal is to finish school, then perhaps the current tactic should be, I need to take one class. Let's just start with one. And then that moves us closer to achieving. But we have to get specific. And now, have you ever said that there's a goal that you have in mind? And when we talk about financial goals specifically, everybody worries about being accused of being greedy. We've got this word altruism that's kind of bandied about, and it's actually the wrong word that people are using to be charitable. If you want to be charitable or benevolent, that's what you should be. But being altruistic, by giving more and giving selflessly without regard for your own best interest, that's a problem. Because if you don't take care of you, who will? Obviously, we can't count on the federal government to get the checks out on time right now. So who else is responsible for us? Well, we are the man in the mirror, or the woman in the mirror. And so what we have to do is set ourselves up for success by structuring the way we language our goals. One of the things that the brain is so amazing about is how it's an action-taking being. And when you give your brain a job to do, whether or not it's morally right, whether or not it's in your best interest, you give your brain a job to do, it looks for that next action word, and bam, it's doing it. But what's curious is this lovely word, no. People use the word no, or they use a negative form of what they're trying to achieve. So when people say, I want to be rich, they don't say that. They don't state, I want to have money in the bank, I want to be financially free. What they usually do, because they don't want to appear greedy, they worry about what other people think, so they say instead, well, I don't want to be poor, or I just want to be comfortable. And when you say, I don't want to be poor, and the brain, you know, do not, the brain has to think of what the not thing is before it can do not it. So we're still thinking about what it is that we don't want. When we say, I don't want to be poor, the brain's hearing, I want poverty. And guess what? Well, we stay right above that poverty line. And we have to turn our languaging around, so we have to clearly define our goals and make sure that they're stated in the positive, what we do want, not what we're trying to avoid.
So, first of all, one of the things that we often say on this show, and one of the things I teach, because I teach people that want to have spiritual careers, alternative healing careers, because I've had my own business now for 29 years. And the first thing I always like to share with them is that, because part of what you didn't say but was semi-inferred was part of this lockdown around money oftentimes is associated with religion or the feeling that there's something spiritually wrong or that we're supposed to be poor or things like that. And so one of the things I always like to teach here, Heather, is that spirit wants spiritual people to have money because they spend it in spiritual ways. And that your goal is to become part of the abundant flow of the universe that can bring in light and can bring in empowerment and can bring in all of these things. And I actually just finished doing a whole vlogging series on how to create the best 2019 possible for you versus ever, because ever is that word that then suddenly your brain says, no, that word doesn't actually exist. Not in this case. So therefore, it's already. But, you know, one of the things about these goals we set is to make sure that we actually do our emotional, intellectual, and spiritual, and even physical due diligence on the goal and make sure that it's ours and it's not somebody else's. It's not something we're trying to prove. It's not coming from a place. Because people who set up all of these goals, you know, they guaranteedly set themselves up to fail by putting so many of them out at a time. They don't want
Absolutely.
To achieve the goals. So, you know, when people come to me with New Year's resolutions and all these goals, I go, okay, so you don't really want any of these. So can you tell me what you do want? Because you don't want any of these because you've set yourself up to fail at them. So let's look at the fact that your action says you don't want them. And now let's figure out what you really do want. So I just wanted to share that because that's what came in as you were speaking. Thoughts?
Well, you're spot on with your analysis. Yeah, and I'm going to go in two different directions here real quick. But I have a girlfriend that came up through the Catholic school system, and one of the things that she says is it's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man into heaven. And so right there we have this, you know, dichotomy of, wait a minute, how can I be spiritually and financially abundant, but how can I still get into heaven or whatever that afterlife is? And that's that thing that people have to wrestle and reconcile with themselves, that, you know, God really does want you to be rich or whoever your spiritual being is, because again, like you just stated, you can't participate in the flow of abundance if you don't have anything. I liken it to being a pitcher. If you are a pitcher of water and there isn't any in your pitcher, how possibly can you fill the cups around you in your life? The cup of your family, the cup of your children, the cup of your parents, the cup of your spiritual pursuits, your professional pursuits, your hobbies, your interests. If you have nothing to give, how are you going to participate in this abundant flow?
Absolutely. You know, and the one thing I always like to remind people of is that the organizations that often preach the idea of money as evil, though the quote was, you know, that money is not that money is the root of all evil. It was the love of money was the root of all evil. But all the organizations that preach that, none of them are poor because they got you to give them all their money.
Curious, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit of an agenda there. You wonder sometimes what God really does think. So please continue.
So I kind of wanted to touch on that. And I like what you talk about because, you know, I do a biology-based approach to success. And so very similarly, like you're looking for when you talked about, you know, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the problem with our goals is they're not congruent with what we say we want because we have these internal drives and desires that are affected, of course, not only by what we think and feel and the actions that we take or don't, But the ones that we surround ourselves with, the close ones that we call loved ones. And this kind of plays into what I want to chat about, the truth being misrepresented about people being afraid to fail. Nobody's afraid to fail. You know, people are afraid to pursue success because it means that something will be different. Because it's something they haven't had, so they don't quite understand it. They're fearful of it. They haven't explored it, so you're dealing with some fears on top of it. But success has its own obligations once you become successful. And those that you surround you with, your personal nucleus of family and close trusted friends and advisors, may not be supportive of your internal drives and desires. I have a friend that for the past 25 years has been a medical doctor, and all he ever wanted to do was be a fashion photographer. But his parents wouldn't let him, and he didn't want to let him down. So worried about that. So he spent a quarter of his potential lifespan, maybe more, doing something to fulfill somebody else's desire that he's still not satisfied with, because there's always something wrong with his parents. They're always complaining about something. So we have to throw all of this garbage aside and look at what it is that we want to do. And now, because we need to be able to provide an existence and a medium of exchange, we have to be able to generate revenue. So maybe what we want to do is only ever going to be a hobby. Maybe it can be a career. But until you take the time to explore it, how do you know you're going to get there? And your current goals, well, you're right.
Well, you know, one of the big things is when you do this work, because, you know, I come from a very different approach, you know, or perspective than you do, but we kind of come to the same conclusions when we work with people. But one of the first things is oftentimes people actually don't really know what they want because they've never been given permission to explore the idea.
Yes. Or they had to do it in secret.
Yeah, and that they really have to flesh it out, and they really have to look at it, and they really have to eliminate all of those voices in their heads that are kind of defining what's going to keep them. And I don't want to hop there. We'll hop there in our next segment when you want to get to the whole tribalism stuff. But what keeps us loved in our tribe? What makes us face security, feel secure, feel loved, feel accepted? All of those things, but it operates at such a deep level behind that curtain that I talk about, because this segment's called Behind the Curtain. It affects behind the curtain, so we don't know how much it's operating us or how much it's moving us. You know, the other thing is, you know, that fear of unknown, i.e. success, and the burden of responsibility that comes with it, means that you might actually have to learn how to set boundaries and say no. And that's very scary to people. You know?
Exactly. Because why? Because they're worried about being excommunicated from the tribe.
Yep. And they're worried. You know, I've had people say to me, well, if I had lots of money, then I would never know who my friends were, and everybody would just want my money and nobody would like me. And I'm like, well, you're assuming that anyone likes you now. So, like, what's the problem?
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. That's a great answer. And it's really funny because most of my coaching clients are professional athletes, celebrities, people that you think would not have money problems.
Oh, my God. They have the worst money problems because no one ever taught them how to deal with money when they didn't have it.
And they don't know how to deal with themselves, especially athletes. You know, these parents, they put these kids in these sports programs so young that they don't even know the difference. And they have been given such structure and so many boundaries in this little box to live in to be the perfect hockey player or the perfect ballerina or whatever it might be, that once they get out on their own, they're not self-governing. They have no idea what it is they want, but they start to feel like this isn't right, but now they're afraid to disappoint these people.
You know, maturity exists in all different areas. You can be very mature intellectually and very immature emotionally. You can have intellectual maturity and be spiritually immature. I mean, it goes any which way you want to put it. And money is one of those ways where You can be very immature about how to deal with money. You may not understand it. You may have a lot of your value wrapped up in it. It depends. Did you even have access to the money when you first got it? Some of what happens to some of these child stars that get great amounts of money that get abused or misspent or used, or, you know, basically they're supporting their family at 8 years old. Well, they're going to be.
Oh, yes. By the time they get it, it's all been pilfered.
Well, or they're just going to be whacked about money in a sense of money and a sense of value. And, you know, I work with several wealthy clients, and, you know, it's different if they built the wealth versus if they inherited it. And when they inherit that wealth, a lot of times they're just slightly out of touch with, like we were talking in the first segment, what is the struggle of the world for the average person? You know, and then they'll do stupid things with money because they have as many issues around it as the person who doesn't have it, more.
Oh, so absolutely.
I want to ask your opinion something, Heather.
Sure.
You were talking about these athletes, and you were talking about, you know, kind of success in the how you approach things has a biological, physiological approach to part of the work you do. How physiologically, or the evolution of the person, or whatever kind of language you want to use, important is it to teach kids to fail? And how much damage have we done by eliminating that or trying to eliminate that at young ages?
Well, we've given them an unrealistic view of the world, first off. I think it's done tremendous damage under the auspices of fostering creativity, because where we get our self-esteem isn't from everybody getting a trophy. There are winners and losers in life, and we learn not when we win. We learn when we make mistakes. Oh, don't do that again. Oh, try it a different way. Oh, do that better next time. Maybe I have to work on my skills, you know. So we've done a tremendous disservice to an entire generation of children that are now in the workforce. They're adults. They're trying to function, and they're so offended. They have no idea how to deal with things because their helicopter moms or helicopter dads had these play dates, and everything was structured, and you know, you have to wear helmets and gloves and braces, and nobody could fall down and get hurt to figure out what to do differently next time. So we're at a loss for skills, and we learn experientially. And everything we do is state-related. So our ability to achieve at any given endeavor, at any given moment, has to do with our physiological resourcefulness. So we can't be in a fight, freeze, or flee mode. We can't feel like we're being threatened. And we have to be able to feel like we can fail, take a step, get back up, and go forward again.
And there's our music ending our second segment. We'll be right back with Heather, my personal financial expert for this hour. But you can call in at 202-570-7057 and ask your questions. We'll be right back. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. We have author Heather Wagenhall. She's a personal financial expert. She has helps you with your financial setbacks. You can get more information by visiting moneycreditandyou.com. You can also check out her books through Barnes & Noble's or Amazon.com. Best-selling author of Yes, You Can, and yes, there's an exclamation point at the end of that, and Bushido Business. So you can call in 202-570-7057 and ask your questions about financial stability, rebuilding your finances, how to prevent having financial difficulties, or at least soften it if things come that you have no control over. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, where all the information's there. You can post your questions. You can see a lovely picture of Miss Heather. You can post your questions, and we would read them on air. So, Heather, we were talking about the damage of not letting children fail. And I'm curious on your opinion before we move to our last segment on this. You know, there is actually now a term called ghosting. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. If it's what I think it is, it's where you break up by just avoiding somebody, not answering the phone calls or texts, and just kind of you just vanish. Is that the same definition?
Well, it can be in a relationship or it can be on a job.
Oh.
People just don't show up. They just don't show up for their desk. They don't show up for their shift. They don't show up. That's it. And sometimes they don't even go back and get their last check, or, you know, they will request at some point for it to be sent to them, and that's it. And they just don't show up. And I think that this ghosting has a direct correlation with that if you're always setting up to think that everybody's going to take care of everything, so you'll always get the trophy, you'll always get the award, you'll always get the ribbon, you'll always be the hallelujah boy or girl, that when you hit the real world and you have to actually learn and you have to actually get some critical feedback and you have to actually make an effort and show some discipline if you want the trophy, not just do it because you got two legs and you walked into the classroom, that this has led to this phenomenon now of the ghosting. And it's widespread. Go ahead.
Well, and it's a travesty because, you know what, it's like, how do you not deal with your consequences? I mean, everything we do has a consequence, positive, negative, or indifferent. And what we've taught a generation of people is that, you know, you can revel and celebrate and enjoy all of the good things, but let's just pretend the bad things don't happen, like not letting kids go to funerals, not letting them come with you when you have to put the dog or cat down is wrong. It's an opportunity to learn. You know, one of the things that I learned early on from Tom Hopkins when I went through his sales training was that I never see failure as failure. I see it as the opportunity for me to learn, chart a new course, and change direction. And that's what it is. You know, failure isn't the opposite of success. It's a part of it. We have to fail. I mean, there's books. There's a best-selling book, Fail Better. Why? Why would that book exist if we are not supposed to fail? Of course. Think about this. The greatest basketball player of all time couldn't even shoot 50%, and he was the greatest. Michael Jordan only ever shot, what, 30, 35%?
Yeah, something like that.
That was his completion rate? And he was the greatest of all time. So really, you know, people make assumptions, and it goes back to this fear of the unknown. And in my sixth key, in my Keys to Riches financial philosophy, it's called Hope for the Best, Plan for the Worst. And it plays right into this biology-based approach to success I was mentioning. So some of the times we don't even take the risk. We don't even try to succeed because we don't know how much it'll take. Gosh, if you only have to make 35% of your shots, and you could be the greatest basketball player of all time, but people don't look at it like that. They don't even explore to realize that it doesn't take that much effort or commitment. But if they don't explore this, they'll never know. And part of this key has to do with our three brains and the way we struggle from our instinctive brain automatically reacting, dumping hormones, keeping us safe, and shutting off our resources to not even have an emotion or memory or to be able to think logically, which is the last thing we do when we process an information stimulus, whether it's a self-generated thought or something in our environment. And until we start maintaining our highest resource state, which means keeping our physiology as calm and peaceful as it possibly can be, getting enough air and water. It's that simple to change your state by taking a deep breath, by having a sip of water. You raise your electrochemical conductivity. Water moves electricity, and we're electrochemical beings. And wouldn't you want to be like at your highest voltage? Absolutely you would. But we get in this place where we make assumptions and we refuse to explore the unknown because we just don't know. And all we have to do to overcome the fear of the unknown is to explore it, is to make it known. I was working with my editor on this one section of my book, And it was, you know, he's like, I think this is, you know, unnecessary. Why do we have to talk about this? You know, and I don't get this, you know, hope for the best, plan for the worst. And I says, because you can have the best intentions, but in an emergency situation, your biology takes over. In its survival state, the instinctive brain works and shuts down the blood flow to the prefrontal cortex. So it, you lose fine motor skills. You learn the you lose the ability to make effective decisions and think critically in that moment. So you can only respond to what you have pre-programmed in, right? So you can watch all the kung fu movies you want, but if you are at knife point and have never practiced a single kick, guess who's not going to be the kung fu master in that moment? That would be you. So if you want to be able to have that as a resource, you need to actually do this. You need to learn it and make it repetitive so it becomes a part of who you are. So it's at that instinctive level embedded so you can actually reach for it. So what happens is all of this unknown garbage is here, and we make assumptions in our conscious mind about what we think and feel and want to do, but we never find out whether or not it's congruent with what's going on underneath the ether. And I gave him this example. I said, do you have a mother-in-law? And he says, absolutely. And I said, is your mother-in-law self-sufficient? Absolutely. And I said, so is it okay with you that when she becomes indigent that she comes to live with you? And he goes, absolutely not. And I said, that's interesting. I said, how does your wife feel about that? Well, I think she would know that long term it wouldn't be a good idea. And I said, great, so you're telling me you've had this discussion with her? And then he just looks at me, dead stare. And I said, so when she's all riled up because she just got off the phone because, you know, her mother broke her hip and now she has to have care and she probably won't be able to live on her own for the rest of her life, and your wife is sad and she says, well, you know, absolutely, we're moving her in, do you think that would be the good time to have that discussion? And he's looking at me and I'm like, this is why we have to make the unknown known and then create the choices when we're not emotionally engaged or instinctively engaged in the actual activity. So these are things that we have to plan for, like a financial fire escape. And we have to take and say, okay, if I lost my job, what will I do? And figure it out before you lose your job. If my government suspends my paycheck, what am I going to do in the meantime? You know,
well, and, you know, part of this is that when you, because I'm a big advocate of you hope and you act in the flow of the best is going to unfold, but you have planned for the worst. And planning for the worst gives your system a safety net so you are more comfortable being a risk taker.
Ding, 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 ding. You are a winner. Dr. Kevin,
yeah.
Surprise.
And so, you know, what I want the listeners to remember out there is, because there is a whole new age thing of, oh, well, if you think of something negative, you draw it to you. No, this isn't about something negative. This is about solutions. And solutions are not negative. And what you're drawing to you is the security blanket that allows you to take the extra mile. And I also wanted to share that I have only two things that we call failure. And failure is not trying. That's a failure. And not learning. That's a failure. As long as you try and you got even one thing out of it, so you could do it differently next time and maybe still not get the results you wanted, but you still didn't fail because you changed something and then you had a different experience and you learned something else. So when people use the word failure, I go, did you not try? Have you not learned something from it? Because we can stop and have you learn something from it right now. It's never too learn to learn. It's never too late to learn something from a failure. But those are, when I define failure, what I talk about. And I'd like to see more people out there start to think of failure in that term, because then what becomes scary is not trying, it's not trying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I think one of the things that we can learn is that, you know, if we just suspended judgment, because with judgment, then we, you know, we imply that there's some sort of penance that has to be paid. And if we just took the good and bad from judgment and instead, for the moment, suspend judgment and just do an analysis or an evaluation instead and say this choice was effective or ineffective instead of good or bad, then we take the sting out, we take the emotion out, it allows us to stay in our highest resource state, and boom, we can make a better decision.
If it didn't get me where I want, where did it get me, and what will?
There you go.
Simple as that.
It's not like, oh, I'm a loser because I didn't get where I wanted to go. Because where it took you might be actually better positioning than if you hadn't made that choice.
Absolutely. And I do want to tell you that we've got about 2 minutes and we've not got to the load of crop segment yet. And so you've got about 2 minutes, and I have enough experience with you, Heather, to know at this point in 2 minutes you can cram 10,000 words. Go.
Yay. Okay. So the load of crap that is going on in the world today is tribalism and all of this hate speech and all of these like safe spaces, and everybody gets a trophy and we're always mortally offended about what somebody else is doing. And you can choose to be offended or not. You can allow somebody to exist peaceably. But what the world needs right now is more kindness. And my dear friend, my best friend, wrote this amazing article. It's on the website, wayoftherenaissanceman.com. And I encourage you to go read this article because it is Try to Be More Kind by Jim Woods. He is the most amazing, you know, financial analyst, but he's also a philosopher. The way he looks at life is completely different than what you hear in the mainstream media. The hyperbole on both sides is just awful. But he talks about the principle of free exchange, capitalism, and the virtue of kindness. And if we set aside our desire to be accepted and this us against them, this wall thing, do we have a wall? Do we not have a wall? We got the wall haters. We got the wall lovers. But what if we are just kind to one another? There's always going to be problems in the world. There are always going to be a few bad people in every segment, in every category, in every area of life. We know this, but guess what? We can still be kind regardless. We have a very short time here on the planet in the grand scheme of millennia and the universal existence. And my most important question, and it's the first one that I ask every one of my coaching clients or every one of my workshop participants, and I've asked it on my radio and television show of my guests, how do you want to be remembered? And wouldn't you like it if somebody said, you know what? Bob was kind to me. Dr. Kevin was kind to me. Heather was kind to me. Wouldn't that be the highest compliment?
Well, I always tell everybody I'm every kind. So.
Well, there you go.
I'm inviting you to go on facebook.com/mydrkevin, and under tonight's posting, put the link to that article that you're asking people to tell them they need to read.
Absolutely.
Just put it in the comment. Make it easy so people can go there and they can click on it and they can get there. That's one of the things I have to say I love about Ellen DeGeneres, is that she ends every show now with, you know, be kind to one another. This is a big thing for her, to recognize and share kindness. Heather, thank you so much for coming. I love being here. Well, we had a great time. Who knows? Maybe one of these days I'll show up on your show.
I would love that. I'm going to hold you to it because you'll be mine.
Ah, yes. And there's a lot of Dr. Kevin to go around. Heather Wagenhall, come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you can see all about her, get connections to her website, come out and get her books, and, you know, see if she can help you with creating the financial life that brings you joy. Namaste.
Thank you so much for tuning in to my guest appearance on the Dr. Kevin Show, reprised here from the Om Times Network on Unlock Your Wealth Today. For more great resources to get out of debt, achieve financial freedom, and live the life of your dreams right now today, visit my website at unlockyourwealthtoday.com. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhall. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealthtoday.com.